Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
This evening, we'll hear from Isaac Dogbe, one of Ghana's top young prize fighters who earned accolades as the Sunny Side of Sports Prospect of the Year for 2016. The unbeaten 22-year-old Dogbe fights in the super bantamweight class, which goes up to 122 pounds. And he's getting ready for a world title fight against a Mexican-American opponent. Our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, had a chance to talk with Isaac Dogbe. Here's Kwabena.
On 23rd of April, history is in the making. You are going to meet WBO Super Bantamweight champion Jesse Magdaleno. That's in Nevada, USA. How is your preparation?
Yes, it's true. Right now, I'd like to give God the glory. Without him, none of this would have been possible. We've come a long way, you know. And right now we're facing, we're challenging for the world title fight. You know, so it's a great opportunity for us, you know, to put our name out there and also to bring the title home.
Isaac, you and Magdaleno, you are undefeated. So far, you fought 16 fights without defeat, 10 knockouts, and Magdaleno too. He fought about 24 fights without defeat. How do you rate Magdaleno?
Magdaleno is a true champion. You know, he fought a renowned world champion and took the title off him. That was Nonito Donaire. You know, he's a strong fighter, a strong Mexican. You can't take nothing away from him. He comes there to knock you out. You know, and that's the sort of challenges that Team Dogbe, we always aspire for, because we say, if you want to be the best, you have to fight the best. You know, this fight, we dubbed it as Azuma Nelson versus Salvador Sanchez 2, you know, repeat or revenge. And it's definitely going to be a revenge because, look, Magdaleno is an American-Mexican. He's a true warrior. Salvador Sanchez was a Mexican, a true warrior. And I myself, you know, we are on the verge. I'm the warrior of Africa. So yes, when we clash, look, the first pay-per-view superstar to ever come out of Africa. So it's going to be a clash of the titans. It's going to be a great fight.
But you can't talk about knockout or winning or that's a normal draw or something like that?
Definitely not. But we know we have full confidence and belief that we are bringing the title home. Okay. Team Dogbe, every time, like I keep saying, we are like the postman. Okay. Whenever we step in the ring, we deliver.
Isaac, you've been traveling to Nevada. Nevada is a new place for you. How do you see fighting long way there?
Well, I was based in Los Angeles, California, before I moved to Ghana here. Nevada and California is not far off, you know, it's about 2 hours drive. So my fans in California, they'll be coming to Nevada towards the fight, you know, because it's not like as if I'm going to a hostile territory. You know, of course, look, Magdaleno, you can't take nothing away from him. He's a great fighter. You know, he's got fans over there. The same way Isaac Dogbe, I've also got fans in California, Los Angeles. When I'm fighting, everyone, you know, is buzzing to watch me fight. Because, look, I don't know. My dad keeps saying I haven't developed my manpower, my man strength yet, you know. But then when I'm fighting, people are edging to come and watch. You know, the same way when we came to Ghana, we've got that sort of good aura around us where when we are fighting, we attract, you know, the ex-presidents, you know, the presidents of Ghana, you know, Papa J, Nana Kufuor, John Mahama, many people, you know. And even when I fought in New Zealand just recently, it was ex-president Jerry John Rawlings that sent us off prior to our traveling. Invited me to his home in Sogakopa. Mm-hmm. And then later on, you know, went to have lunch. And then later on, he invited me to reach, you know, and sent us off, you know, financially and, mm-hmm. and morally. Okay. You know, so all these things, we are, you know, it's a step. It's a step-by-step mm-hmm. situation. You know, we're doing something right. And, you know, that's why we are attracting so many prominent people in this nation and also overseas.
Your father as your coach has been with you from day one. When I say day one, I mean the day you're born. And it's been behind you all the way. So what kind of spirit behind this father-son unity?
I believe that every child, you know, they are governed by the spirits of their fathers, yeah. you know, their parents, the spirit of their parents. You know, my dad is someone that has been with me always, like he said. You know, he introduced me to boxing. And one thing he said to me was, it's either I do it the hard way or I don't do it at all. Mm-hmm. You know, he grew up the hard way. Mm-hmm. You know, he came from a rich family. Right. You know, my grandfather was a wealthy man. Uh-huh. But he learned things the hard way.
Right.
You know, but then he tried to use his experience to direct me to the right path. And since then, the way I made my mind was, you know what, there's nothing that can go wrong. I just have to listen, keep my head down, and do as he tells me, listen to the advice, and I believe that everything is just going to go upwards, and that's exactly what's happening, you know, in my life at the moment. So I'm really thankful and grateful. Okay.
How much support are you getting from your Ghanaian fans? You have a lot of supporters behind you. How do you feel about them?
Well, I feel great, you know, to have the entire nation behind me. Mm-hmm. Within this fight, we're supposed to be a three-phase training camp.
Right.
We're supposed to start training here in Ghana, then move to London to continue, and then from there we move to Vegas for the third phase. But since the funds hasn't come in yet, that's what we're still here in Ghana. But it's like we were training until they said we were going to fight, and then, you know, they're just playing about the contracts and things. So right now we just slow down a little bit, you know, because the body has to also rest at some point. You cannot, they call something wear and tear, you know, so we slow down, you know, but we know that when the time comes, we'll be there to deliver. I'm really grateful because Nana Akufo-Addo also, you know, sent me his congratulatory message, you know, when I fought in December, you know, in New Zealand, when I tweeted the WBO International Super Bantamweight title, you know, so it's been great. We've got the whole nation covered, you know, they're supporting me morally. You know, everywhere I pass, you know, everyone is saying, oh, best of luck in your fight, your upcoming fight, you know, well done, God bless you. So, I mean, the whole nation has been great to me.
You are proud of the whole nation.
And definitely.
Let me ask you, what message are you going to give them? Because I know you said it earlier on, you're going to bring the title to Ghana.
Definitely.
What message do you have for them?
You know, I keep saying that the voice of the people is the voice of God. Mm-hmm. All I can tell the Ghanaian public is that they should continue to support me in their prayers. Whenever they go to bed, whenever they wake up, they shouldn't forget Isaac Dugbe. They should always pray for Isaac Dugbe and my whole team, you know. And I believe that God answers prayers. And with their prayers, we are definitely bringing the title home.
Wishing you good luck in this fight, Isaac.
Thank you so much, Voice of America.
Voice of America!
And thank you so much, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, for that interview with top Ghanaian boxer Isaac Dogbe. 2017 is a big anniversary year for the Voice of America. The VOA is celebrating the 75th anniversary of its first broadcast. Let's listen in now to this special anniversary message from VOA Director Amanda Bennett.
Seventy-five years ago, Voice of America made its first broadcast. Today, we broadcast in over 45 languages all over the world. We broadcast in every means that people could possibly want to receive their news and information. We use radio still. We use television. We broadcast for the web, for mobile, and if new forms of communication are invented, we'll be there too. Our mission is really, really simple. We give neutral, fair, objective, independent news and information to people who have no other access to it. And we tell America's story. And America's story is rich and full. It goes from the entrepreneurial climate of Silicon Valley to our great universities, to health and medicine and medical advances. It's also the story of America's diaspora, the people who came here from all over the world. I started my journalistic career more than 50 years ago. And here today at Voice of America, I remember just why I became a journalist. It's such a privilege to be working here with the great men and women who are telling America's story and providing neutral news and information around the world. I'm so happy to be here at Voice of America as it celebrates its 75th anniversary, and I feel proud to welcome it into the next 75 years.
Voice of America!
In African football news, Ghana has named Maxwell Konadu as caretaker coach of the Black Stars until a permanent successor to Avram Grant is appointed. The 44-year-old Konadu held the caretaker coach position in 2014 after Kwesi Appiah left. He's also been Ghana's assistant coach, under-20 coach, and under-23 coach. Maxwell was a striker during his playing days, and he was also a member of the Ghanaian team that won a bronze medal at the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. Meanwhile, the 62-year-old Avram Grant resigned as Ghana's coach last month after leading the Black Stars to the semifinals of the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Gabon. Grant also guided the Black Stars to the final of the 2015 Nations Cup, when they lost to neighbor Ivory Coast 9-8 in a dramatic penalty kick shootout. Turning to the English Premier League, Hull's veteran Congolese striker Dumasi Mbokani will be sidelined for the next 6 weeks after suffering a hamstring injury 5 days ago during a one-all draw with Burnley. Mbokani came off the pitch in the 67th minute. He's been on a season-long loan from the Ukrainian club Dynamo Kiev. Mbokani has previously played for clubs in Belgium, Germany, and Monaco, as well as for TP Mazembe, which is based in Lubumbashi in the southeastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo. In more Premier League news, Chelsea's Nigerian wingback Victor Moses says he feels very excited about signing a 2-year contract extension to stay at Stamford Bridge until 2021. The 26-year-old Moses has spent the previous 3 seasons on loan at Liverpool, Stoke, and West Ham, respectively. He's become a regular under Chelsea's Italian manager, Antonio Conte. Moses says, and I quote, "I'm enjoying my football, and we have a good manager here who has given every single one of us confidence." I'm sure Chelsea fans have also been enjoying the club's football this season. The 5-time Premier League champions are in first place, 10 points clear of Tottenham Hotspur.
They're playing back.
In National Basketball Association news, the season is over for Joel Embiid, the talented center from Cameroon, whose professional career has been hobbled by injuries since being the third overall pick in the 2014 NBA draft. The Philadelphia 76ers announced the 22-year-old Embiid will not play again this season because of a left knee injury. Embiid hasn't played in a game since January 29th. He missed all of his first two NBA seasons because of a broken bone in his right foot. When healthy this season, Joel Embiid has delivered. He averaged more than 20 points and almost eight rebounds a game for Philadelphia, and he did that while averaging only about 25 minutes per game. Because of injuries, Embiid has appeared in only 31 of Philadelphia's 59 games this season. In action Wednesday night, the Miami Heat scorched visiting Philadelphia 125-98. Miami has won 10 of its past 11 games at home. In a matchup of Eastern Conference leaders, the Boston Celtics defeated the defending NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers 103-99. All-star guard Isaiah Thomas had 31 points for the host Celtics. Boston's win overshadowed the seventh triple-double of the season for Cleveland star LeBron James, who tallied 28 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists. The Cavaliers remain in first place in the Eastern Conference, three games ahead of the Celtics and five games ahead of my magical Washington Wizards, who scored a 105-96 road victory over the Toronto Raptors. In other NBA results Wednesday night, the New York Knicks scored a 101-90 road victory over the Orlando Magic. The host Atlanta Hawks edged the Dallas Mavericks 100-95. The Denver Nuggets beat the host Milwaukee Bucks 110-98. The New Orleans Pelicans were big winners at home, pounding the Detroit Pistons 109-86. The host San Antonio Spurs edged the Indiana Pacers 100-99. All-star forward Kawhi Leonard had 31 points and 10 rebounds for the Spurs, including the go-ahead basket with less than 3 seconds left in the game. Other scores, the Minnesota Timberwolves trounced the Utah Jazz 107-80. The Houston Rockets scored a 122-103 road victory over the Los Angeles Clippers. And in one more result, the Brooklyn Nets ended a 16-game losing streak. They beat the host Sacramento Kings 109-100. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world?
Well, I want to start just by talking about Joel Embiid for a bit, because Joel Embiid, as our listeners may or may not know, played college basketball at the University of Kansas.
Your favorite school.
My favorite school. So Joel Embiid has that Kansas connection. But there's another person trending today that has, I'd say, a Kansas connection for sure. None other than the great Wilt Chamberlain.
That's right. He played for Kansas.
He did indeed. So Wilt Chamberlain is trending today for a couple of different reasons. The first one is a current reason, and it has to do with Russell Westbrook. Now, as you mentioned on the show yesterday, Russell Westbrook had his, I believe, 30th triple-double of the season yesterday. Now, that 30th triple-double ties him with Wilt Chamberlain's record that is set as for second most all-time in a season.
Pretty good company.
Pretty good company. So he's right about to jump into that second spot ahead of Wilt Chamberlain. Of course, the number one spot, Oscar Robertson, 41 triple-doubles in one season. Quite a number. So all eyes on Russell Westbrook, see if he can break yet another record and go ahead and move into that number two spot. So a lot of talk about that with Wilt Chamberlain's record. But also today is a very important day in basketball history. It was today, 55 years ago, that Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in a game while he's playing for the Philadelphia Warriors. Philadelphia won 169-147 for the New York Knicks, who they were playing. Now, as I've seen this trending on social media, I've gotten a little bit of a history lesson. At the time, professional basketball was not nearly the sport it is today. And so there's actually no video footage of this. There's only audio footage of the fourth quarter of the game.
Wow.
But what we do see a lot of on social media is that famous picture, Wilt Chamberlain holding up that sign with 100 written on it. And lots of praise, even 55 years later, at the astounding magnitude of this achievement. Many saying it's the most iconic moment in NBA history. One person listing out said Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Steph Curry. Nobody can even come close. So it gives us an idea, even 55 years later, what a great player Wilt Chamberlain was, one of a kind.
I think Kobe might have tallied 81 points in a game, but that was as close as he got to Wilt's record. Interesting dynamic between, you mentioned the late, great Wilt Chamberlain and Westbrook. Two different players in terms of stature. I mean, Wilt was towering out there on the court and rugged and very muscular. And Westbrook is such a dynamic, smaller player. So interesting that Westbrook is climbing new heights, maybe climbing up to Chamberlain territory.
Quite possibly going to break that and maybe go for that 41 or even 42 number. We'll see.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, we move from professional basketball to college basketball, and as we've been talking about, it is March, so March Madness is on the way, and we're getting to the end of the regular season of college basketball, and we're seeing some very exciting moments. Perhaps none more exciting last night than Northwestern University, just outside of Chicago, with 1.7 seconds left on the clock, and their score tied against the University of Michigan. Derek Pardon chucks a full court pass down the entire length of the court to his teammate, Nathan Taphorn, who taps it in, lays it up. Northwestern wins at the buzzer. The students rush onto the court, tackle the players. They're calling it the greatest play in Northwestern University history. By winning, to make it even sweeter, all but guarantees Northwestern University is going to go to the NCAA tournament, even as an at-large team, for the first time ever. So really amazing, amazing work out there. All the videos that we've seen on social media from students in the stands with that one moment, the last seconds of the game, scoring that shot. It's very funny when you watch these videos because they're kind of still. And then all of a sudden, the camera, you just see a shaking image because they're jumping up and down, running down the court. And actually, one of the people who was there, this was very interesting, actress Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who our listeners might know from Seinfeld or the show Veep that she's on now. She actually went to Northwestern University. She was there for the game.
Wow.
So she had it up on her social media. So kind of an intersection of sports and entertainment, but an amazing moment. And this is a team that has done well this year, one that a lot of people are looking towards as we approach March Madness.
Kind of some early March Madness, wouldn't you say, Andrew?
It is. And now the next thing that we have after the regular season in college basketball, the conference tournaments, and that will determine some of the entrants into the March Madness NCAA tournament. Of course, if you win your conference tournament, in many cases, you get an automatic bid into the tournament. So we're looking for some maybe Cinderella teams, as we call them, to make some runs and do quite well and work their way into the NCAA tournament in a few weeks.
And I think some of our Voice of America listeners, maybe they didn't grow up in the United States, but they might have ties to a certain school. Maybe they went to graduate school at one of the competing teams in March Madness. So it brings about these very international ties once the tournament gets underway.
Absolutely. And that's something we've noticed even in the past, I don't know, 5-10 years or so, a lot more international students coming in. My alma mater, George Washington University here in Washington, D.C., had players the past couple of years from Denmark, from Japan, from Argentina. So a lot of international players coming in. A lot of players from Africa as well. We talked about Joel Embiid, of course, playing in college
from Cameroon.
So we have a lot of those international players coming in. So it's going to be an interesting tournament, a global tournament for sure, and one that social media is going to cover extensively, from the selection of the teams to the brackets. That's always a fun thing, trying to pick the perfect bracket. I think it's one in, you know, multi-billion chance to try to get the perfect bracket. So no one ever really does, but always fun to try to play along and guess who that one team is going to be that's going to be the upset team.
And I can guess that Julia Louis-Dreyfus will be rooting for Northwestern.
Yes, go Cats, go, as she tweeted out about her Northwestern Wildcats.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. And Andrew, this programming note, will be hosting the show on Friday. Do a good job, Andrew.
I'm looking forward to it. And we'll see you back here on Monday, Sonny.
Thanks, Andrew. And that wraps up the March 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA engineer Rob McLean. Thank you, Rob. And thanks to all our Voice of America listeners for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Drought-related water and food shortages are posing a risk to many in Namibia, and the U.S. government is providing help. Through the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, the U.S. will purchase 8 water tanker trucks and promote community and school sanitation valued at $1.6 million. Additionally, USAID, with funding from the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, known as PEPFAR, is rolling out $2.2 million for drought assistance activities to help malnourished HIV patients, pregnant and lactating women, orphans, and vulnerable children in food-insecure districts in Namibia with a high HIV burden. In collaboration with the Ministry of Health and Social Services, USAID will support the training of health extension workers to identify and refer HIV-positive individuals and vulnerable children that are malnourished. Referred clients will receive a medical assessment and, if needed, therapeutic nutritional feeding supplements, as well as counseling on improved nutrition and hygiene. To support the Ministry of Gender Equality and Child Welfare's efforts, USAID will assist in expediting the registration of orphans and vulnerable children for social grants to mitigate the effect of drought on vulnerable children. In addition, USAID will work with the Office of the Prime Minister and UN organizations to ensure coordination, technical support, and sustainability of the response. USAID anticipates providing nutrition screening and counseling to over 42,000 people living with HIV and providing food supplements to up to 14,000 vulnerable children. These drought assistant interventions support the existing PEPFAR and Namibian government program to meet the UN AIDS targets to combat HIV in the country. Since 2005, the U.S. government, through PEPFAR, has invested over $1.1 billion in the Namibian health sector. In 2015, an additional $34 million was dedicated to accelerate treatment for all in support of the Ministry of Health and Social Services' fight against HIV/AIDS. The United States stands with its partner, Namibia, to help meet the urgent water and nutritional needs of the people of Namibia.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for VOA's discussion program, Reporters Roundtable, every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas and take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. So please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss International Women's Day. It's also known as the United Nations Day for Women's Rights and International Peace, celebrating women's achievements throughout history. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.